Again, good to see you. Brother Bobby, of course, being out of town today, I'm filling in for him. He should be back here next Sunday presenting lessons from his word. I do a lot of song leading, and I can remember at times, when a preacher or something, and a lot of times it was at the last minute, would come up to me like a couple of minutes before, "Hey, could you lead this?" It would go with my lesson really well. And when, that can be very nerve-wracking because you like to practice as a song leader. So I tried to give Jesse plenty of time. I texted him yesterday. So there you go. But it's tough. He's never led that song before. Did an excellent job. Thank you very much for leading that. And it's been a while. It's been a couple minutes since we've led that song. So it was just a good song with good lessons. And that song is what I'm building my lesson on here today, was the song "The Great Physician." So I'm going to put a few pictures up here. Yep, there we go. So when you think about the word physician, what are you thinking about, right? Well, let's shift to some of these visual aids here. You can think about, going to the doctor's office and maybe having to sit in that chair or sit up on that little weird paper bed thing, and you got to sit up there and they do what they need to do, or you got to get on that scale thing. That's always the scariest thing to get on, right? That one's kind of tough. You don't want to get on that one. Anytime I go to the doctor, I always want to like take my shoes off and do all that. And they're like, "Oh no, don't do that." But the shoes add so much weight, right? So I want to take off the shoes. Or they're checking your blood pressure. Definitely need to be keeping an eye on that. So when you think about going to the doctor, going to see your physician, you kind of have these kind of images in your mind, and or other little things like that. And again, why do you go to the doctor? Why do you go see your physician? You're just trying to maintain your health. The older you get, you definitely should probably do that on a routine basis. Even when you're younger, you should probably be keeping an eye on things. I tell some of the younger people I work with at work, it wouldn't hurt you to go at least get your cholesterol checked, do this. I probably sound like the old guy in the lab, which I don't feel like I am, but I probably am, because I probably sound that way, because I'm telling them, "Hey, just keep an eye on this in your 20s, because by the time you get to your 40s, you don't want that out of control, and it's harder to get it under control." But, you just go to keep an eye on things, to keep things maintained. If you have a little issue, you can call your doctor, you can go in, and they can check that out. You're just making sure your all-around health is looking good, and you're just trying to keep an eye on that. And that's your family doctor. If you have something that needs a little extra attention, that's something that's more specific, you might go see a specialist. So your doctor might refer to you to some specialist, maybe for, whatever problem is you might be having. And they take a little closer look because that doctor has a little bit more expertise in something very specific. So we understand. We understand physicians. We understand doctors. We understand why we go to them. We understand that we may or may not want to go. Sometimes these scenes can bring up some fear, some anxiety. It used to when I was first started going, so my blood pressure would be elevated. And they're like, "Well, why is your blood pressure high?" "Well, I don't want to be here. I'm kind of nervous." Or I drove from work and I had to drive through St. Louis, so I'm a little on edge because I had to drive through St. Louis to get here. But sometimes we don't want to go see the doctor. It's nerve-wracking, it's all this stuff, but we need to do that. We need to keep an eye on our physical health. So, what do I say? Where am I going with this, right? Well, when we think about Jesus being the great physician and what he does for us, and we think about where that verse comes from, Luke 5, 31 through 32, and Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So right here we see, those that are sick. Sick can equal those that are sinners, those that have sinned. Now, who of us have sinned? All of us, right? Romans 3:23, I don't have up here. "For all have sinned and falls short of the glory of God." So, let's put those two bookends together. So, if those that are sick need the physician, and those that are sick or those that have sinned, then do we need a physician in our life to keep our spiritual health in check? Absolutely we do. Yes, we do. You know, a physician monitors and maintains health, treats illness, can be called a healer. Jesus Christ is all of these things to us. He is there to help us monitor and to maintain our spiritual health. He is there to help treat us of our spiritual illnesses. And he is definitely there to help be our healer when we are spiritually ill. So these are just things that when I was thinking about this lesson, I thought about that song, thinking about physicians and how that relates to what we all understand in our physical life, what the importance is of having a doctor, a physician in our life to help us physically. Even more so, more importantly, we need to have that physician to make sure we are taking care of ourselves spiritually, right? So, what we're going to do, you know, we can think of Jesus being, you know, that family doctor that can help us be very healthy all across our spiritual life. But I also want to think of him as a specialist. And there's four areas that I want to talk about when we think about him being our great physician and being a specialist in four areas. And I want to start with Matthew 13, verses 13 through 15. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." So, all these things in yellow, this is where I'm headed today. There's four areas that bring, we can kind of see where he was going here. You know, we're going to talk about the areas of the eyes. Their eyes they have closed. We need health for our eyes. We need health for our ears. We need health for our heart. And we need health for our mind. So there you go. I've given you a lesson. Four parts. I can sit down right. No, I'm not done yet. We're going to have a few verses to go over for each one of these. So first of all, we're going to start with our eyes. We need healing for our eyes. Now we think about a specialist for the eyes. You know, a lot of us that have been here for quite some time, we know somebody that's a specialist for our eyes. Dr. Kevin, right? And I think a lot of us have been to him as an, you know, ophthalmologist. I even wrote down the fancy words for these specialists, but I didn't put them up here. But an ophthalmologist is someone to help us with our health for our eyes. We understand that if we have a specific need, you know, if we have to have glasses or we have some kind of issue going with our eyes, maybe our general doctor can't necessarily help us with that. We go to an eye doctor, somebody that specializes in that. Jesus can be our eye doctor to make sure the eyes of our spiritual life are where they need to be. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins." You know, leading into this particular scripture, it says, "For this reason, do these things." You know, leading into this, it was talking about, you know, the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And understanding that kind of knowledge and understanding what Jesus Christ means to us, that he has granted us great and precious promises and can help us escape from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. This is what's being talked about when it goes to this set of the scriptures, that you need to have all of these things as part of your life. You know, supplementing your faith with virtue and knowledge and self-control, steadfastly, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. You know, we read and we see the evidence and examples of all these things in the scriptures and understand that if we add these things, we see examples of it. That if we see these things, we do these things and implement these things in our life, you know, we are going to be a much healthier Christian. Because if we don't implement these things in our life, and not only implement them, but have them increasing each and every day to try to grow, right? We're trying to grow. That's why it says, keep these things increasing. Because if we don't do that, what's it say down there at the end? Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind. All right, nearsighted, right? I always get those things mixed up. Nearsighted, you can see things close. You're having trouble seeing things far away. So, another word that I wrote down for that is somebody that's short-sighted. So somebody that's short-sighted, you're just kind of seeing things right here. You're not seeing the big picture. And to me, when you read this scripture and think about all of these things that you need to have in your life and these things need to be increasing, you're seeing a bigger picture of how you can be a stronger Christian. Instead of just not seeing that big picture, you're just seeing what's here instead of seeing the steps that you need to be taking to continue to grow. So you kind of get stuck because you can't see the path that you're trying to walk. So that's how I kind of lean into this particular scripture when we think about the health of our eyes. We don't want to be that kind of Christian that only sees this right here. Can't see the nose in front of your face almost. We want to be able to not be short-sighted in our growth as a Christian. We want to continue to grow each and every day. You know, become complacent almost. You know, and not try to grow. That's what we don't want to be. We want to be somebody that is not short-sighted, but somebody that has an healthy eyes and a healthy view of the path that we're trying to walk to be a stronger Christian. Another verse I want to talk to you about here, Matthew 6, 22 through 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? If you're letting darkness come through into your soul, into your body, how great is that darkness? You don't want that darkness to be part of your life. You don't want to be considered to be darkness. You want your eyes to be healthy so your whole body will be full of light because the eye is the lamp of the body. So we need to make sure that we're, again, keeping our eyes focused on the path that we're on. Focusing on God and godly things. To see that kind of light and having that fill our life and not focusing on the things of the world, because that's not a very good light a lot of times. And if we focus and continue to focus on worldly things and just keep letting that flood into our life, flood into our minds, flood into our souls, that darkness is just going to kind of keep building and building. And the next thing you know, we're going to be, how great is that darkness that fills us? We need to make sure we have our focus on God and godly things. Because in Psalm 146, verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. We need to keep our eyes open. You know, we need to keep our eyes focused on the Lord so that we're not blind, we're not nearsighted, short-sighted, whatever you want to call it. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord's Word opens the eyes of the blind. We need to study that. Get your eyes on the Bible so that we continue to grow and study. Because the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Right? The more we study, the more we dig into the Scripture, we read and we learn and we grow. And we can be enlightened. And letting this light, the light of God, flood our life. Don't let the world and worldly things flood your life and have that darkness just taking you over a piece at a time, and the next thing you know, it's taking you over. Make sure your focus is on God and godly things. Next of all, we need healing for our ears. I'm sure every one of you, at least at some point, maybe has had that little weird thing stuck in your ear. You know, all right, let me take a look at that. And you hope they don't jam it in there too far because it just kind of feels weird. But they need to, you know, a doctor needs to see that. I have it written out. I'm not going to try to pronounce what an ear doctor's true term is because I don't want people making fun of me when they look at it later on the video. But an ear doctor, an ENT, making sure your ears are where they need to be. You know, making sure that, you know, there's no damage in there, there's no buildup of things, you know, that's going to cause a muffled sound or whatever it might be. So if you have trouble hearing, you have trouble with your ears, you go to a specialist to make sure that your ears are working properly, to make sure that you have proper health of your ear. Well, as Christians, we need to make sure we have healthy Christian ears. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off in the midst. I know sometimes when you get an ear infection, don't your ears itch a little bit? You start doing this kind of thing and you're pulling on it. Sometimes that's a sign. You got something going on in there and it's kind of bothering you. Well, you know, this itching ears thing, not quite like that. We're not, our Christian ears are not trying to unclog them or anything necessarily like that. But itching ears here, that they're talking about somebody that's seeking out teachings. They want to seek out somebody that's saying, that is speaking something, that is condoning what they want to do. They're hearing what they want to hear. And they're going to go find that person to make sure they're hearing what they want to hear. Because sometimes the truth's hard to hear, isn't it? And sometimes it's hard to listen to that. But we need to. God didn't say it was going to be easy. All right? But we need to listen to what God has to say. And not try to go to somebody else, somewhere else, and listen to some other teaching. They may sound better. You know what? I like how that sounds because maybe that opens the door for me to do things that maybe I want to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm going to go do that. And I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to so I can do what I want to do. You know what? That's called selective hearing. You know, you're choosing what you want to hear instead of choosing to listen to the truth and the whole truth. God's word is the whole truth. Don't pick it apart and take out the parts you want and just listen to that. You need to listen to the whole truth. Not just things that you want to seek out to condone what you want to do and hear what you want to hear so you can do what you want to do. And these people here that it talks about here, they're turning away from listening to the truth and wandering off into myths. You know, it's a myth, an invented story or an idea or a concept. You know, because that's what happens a lot of times. With some of the teachings that go on out in the world, people just making stuff up because it sounds good. You know, or they take something and twist it out of the scriptures. And they're just making stuff up. But sometimes, if we're not careful, it's easy to listen to that kind of stuff. You know what? You know, that's not too bad. I like what he's saying here. And you know, I think I'm going to go that direction. Instead of making sure that you're opening your ears to listening to the truth. Listening to God's truth. So we need to be careful not to have those itching ears and then not endure, you know, not listening to sound teaching. That's what we need to be doing. John 8:47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. If we say that we're a Christian and we're trying to follow what God asks us to do, trying to follow God's word, that's what we need to be doing. We need to hear the words of God and not have our ears tickled with what somebody else might be trying to twist or make up. Or again, something that might sound, oh, that sounds, I like that, that sounds better. It kind of frees me up to do other things. Mark 4:23-24. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. So yeah, we can sit here and listen to what I'm trying to present from the Word of God, or the lessons we hear each and every Sunday. But that's not the whole picture here. You can't just sit there and listen, but you need to pay attention. Right, teachers here? You got any kids in your class that, yeah, they may be hearing what you're saying, but are they actually paying attention? Yeah, Jesse's shaking his head no. He knows. He knows. You were all students at one time, if you're not current students. You know, are you really hearing and paying attention? Ah, that's it. Or is it just kind of going one ear out the other? You have ears to hear. You have Christian ears to hear the Word of God. Now pay attention to what God is telling you. Luke 11:28. He said, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Oh, boy, this is getting a little harder now. Not only do we need to hear it, we need to pay attention. And now we need to keep what God has said for us to do. You see where this is all going here? To have these healthy Christian ears. And Jesus is there to help be that physician to make sure we have healthy Christian ears so that we can hear these words of God, that we can pay attention to them, and that we can keep those words. Because then again, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We need to keep those words, and we need to continue to follow them each and every day. Again, we're trying to walk that Christian life. We need to, again, hear it, pay attention to it, keep it, and continue to follow it each and every day. That's the strong ears that we need to have as a Christian when it comes to listening to and absorbing God's Word. Pay attention, keep it, follow it. Let's talk about healing for our heart. This one I know, cardiologist, right? There's your looking out for the health of your heart. And of course, you understand they're going in there listening to, making sure your heartbeat sounds strong, make sure it's, a regular beat. There's no irregularities there, no skipping or anything like that. If there are, they can hook you up to machines and see exactly what's going on. We understand physically why we want to make sure our heart is healthy, right? That's the engine that's kind of driving the train. So we need to make sure that heart is healthy. Do we need to make sure our Christian heart is healthy? Is that important? Absolutely. There's a lot going on there. Hebrews 3:12. Take care lest there be in you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Wow. So if we have an evil, unbelieving heart, if our Christian heart is not healthy, what's the consequence of that? What can happen? It can lead us to fall away. That's kind of scary. Because what I say, the heart's kind of the engine here, that's circulating everything in our body that needs to be circulating. So if we have an evil, unbelieving heart, that's going to circulate that throughout our whole Christian body. And that's going to lead us to fall away. So we need to be careful. We need to make sure we have a healthy heart. Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We need, again, to make sure we have a healthy heart, a pure heart, because that's the kind of heart that's going to see God. 2 Thessalonians 3:5, may the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Again, what are we looking for to make sure we have a healthy Christian heart? Who's going to help us do that? May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God. Yes, we need to let Jesus be that great physician to make sure we have a healthy heart so that we can be led to that love of God. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. There's a lot of things we all have to deal with, things we all have going on. And sometimes it can make you heart sick when you see the things that are going on in the world, maybe going on in your family, going on with relatives, whatever it may be. Troubles, trials, health, whatever it is. We understand here the peace of Christ to rule in your hearts. Let that sink in a little bit. You let Jesus be that physician, that great physician for your heart, to help you through being heart-ached as a Christian. That happens. I think we all go through those kind of times where we struggle as a Christian and our hearts get down for whatever reason it might be, because we're troubled. We just have a lot of things going on that concern us. And it's tough. It is for me. I don't know about you guys. It is for me. It's just tough. When you think about this kind of verse, the peace of Christ, let it rule in your heart. Wow. If you can do that, you know, and I'm not trying to be, you know, just throwing out that phrase, oh, let's let Jesus into your heart. You know, but there's a lot to say about that, to let Christ rule in your heart. Not just be kind of on the sidelines and just kind of just use him when you need him, but to let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And to make sure that is what's foremost in your heart. And that's going to help you get through a lot of the trials, the struggles, the sadness, the sorrow, fill in the blank there, that we all have to deal with. Stress. Just name it. Whatever it is that applies to you. Just think about that. When you think about having a healthy heart, and let Jesus be that physician to help you have that healthy heart. Let him into your heart. Let him rule your heart. Make sure you have that purity of heart. Have the Lord direct your heart. Have your heart filled with the love of God, so that you can have that peace of Christ ruling to your heart. And surely be thankful for that. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, this verse to me just kind of summed up what I've been talking about. If you let worldly things, the things of this life, continue to dominate your heart and dominate your emotions, dominate all of these things, and that's what you choose to focus on, you know, I know this is talking about the desires of your heart, and don't let the things of this world, you know, be your focus on the things that you want. You want to lay up treasures in heaven. You want to do what you can to make sure you're living the life that you can lead so that you can be with God in heaven. But I'm also going to tie into the worries and the concerns of this world. And you can become so focused on that, just like you can become so focused on continuing to try to build up wealth and build up all this stuff here in this world, but then forget what's most important, is making sure that you're building up treasures in heaven. That's where your focus needs to be. That's where the focus of your heart needs to be. So again, where's that focus? Is it on Christ and God and godly things and the love of God that can fill your heart and then help you deal with all of the things you're going to have to deal with? That's where your strength's going to come from to get through those kind of things. Not this world, that's for sure. You know, you continue to try to seek help from this world, a lot of times what's going to happen? It's going to bum you out even more. It's going to get you down even more. Because that's just, unfortunately, the world's just a tough place. It's not easy. But we know we have somebody truly on our side that we need to make sure that we focus our hearts on, and to make sure he fills our hearts. And Jesus can help heal our hearts when it is broken. Got one more for you. Let's have a little healing for our minds.
There's that other picture.
All right, so there's all sorts of scans that you can take of, what's going on up here. You can have an MRI, CAT scan, whatever's going on. But a neurologist, is making sure what's going on up there, is what it's supposed to be. If there's any problems, a lot of times, the scans can see that. But, the neurologist is making sure you have a healthy brain, a healthy mind. Well, we need to make sure as Christians we have healthy minds as well. Romans 8, 5 through 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. I just spent some time talking about having peace in your heart. Now, when we make sure that we're setting our minds on God and godly things, setting our minds on the Spirit, what's that say? We're going to have life. We're going to have peace. To have peace up here is a pretty powerful thing. Because everybody struggles with that each and every day. Just on a daily basis. Just think about all the things that you, even today, what you got going on later today. What's all the things you got going on? If you got kids going back to school, teacher, student, whatever it might be, wheels are turning, right? Got to get the classroom ready. Got to get all my stuff ready as a student. Get all my stuff together. What's the first day going to be like? Am I going to like my teachers? Are the teachers going to like the kids? Are they going to be, a bunch of rowdy kids I'm going to have to deal with? Whatever it is. And that's just the example I'm setting here today. Each and every one of us have a lot of things going on. And we have, again, a lot of things that are pulling the focus of our minds. But we need to make sure that we're setting our minds on things above. Setting our minds on the Spirit. Because if we live according to the flesh, he says that's death. If we live according to the Spirit, that's life and peace. So we need to make up our minds on which way we're going to go, how we're going to act. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Again, this is the focus of our minds that we're talking about here. What we choose to continue to think on and focus on, each and every day. Is that going to be what's first and foremost on our thoughts and in our minds? The things of this world, or are we going to make sure what's on the top of that list that we're going to continue to focus on is the things that are above? Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our priority, the priority of our focus, needs to be Jesus. It needs to be heavenly things. That needs to be the priority of our focus. And we do that here in our minds. Let our minds set that course for us. And we need to renew our minds. We need to study. And we need to meditate on God and His Word. Each and every time you can do that, that helps renew your mind. When you put the Bible down, you put it away, and it gets dusty, and you're not focusing on that, you're not studying that, you're not renewing your mind with God and godly things. What's going to continue to fill your mind? Well, if you're not doing it with godly things, well, it's things of this world. And you don't want that. You need to have your focus, your priority of focus, on continuing to renew your mind, to grow each and every day by studying God and studying His Word. Understand God's will for you and understand all that is good and acceptable and perfect. So I've given you four things to think about. We could have went a whole bunch of other things as well, but again, going back to Matthew 13:15, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and turn, I would heal them. Jesus wants to be your healer. He wants to be that great physician. And I think just as each of us need to pay attention to our physical bodies, and things break down sometimes and we go to the doctor, we understand that, to make sure we're healthy, we need to understand that Jesus is there to be our great physician. to help us to continue to be healthy in all these aspects and so many more, so that we can be a complete Christian, a complete healthy Christian, and continue to walk each and every day according to His will. Philippians 4:7 is the last verse I want to leave you with. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You go to the doctor, you get something taken care of. How do you feel? I got that taken care of, right? Whatever it was, you got it under control. Everything's looking good. Got that taken care of. You feel better, right? Hopefully. That's what you go to the doctor for, to feel better. We go to our spiritual doctor, our spiritual physician, so that we can have that peace of God which surpasses all understanding. I don't think we can even appreciate that, the peace of God, what that means to have that in our life, because it does surpass all understanding. But that peace of God, let that guard your hearts, guard your minds, guard what you hear, guard what you see, guard your life. Just think how great that is, to be able to feel that good spiritually. Make sure we have that great physician looking out for us. We don't have to worry about, you know, being scared about going to an appointment. You know, we don't even have to necessarily make an appointment. We can just go to God in prayer and ask for that healing. Lord, help me to be stronger. Help me to see with strong Christian eyes, hear with strong Christian ears, have a strong Christian heart, to be able to love like you do, and to be able to have a strong Christian mind so I can focus on God's Word and be able to learn and study and grow. How great is that? So that's what I'm going to leave you with here today. So if you are feeling spiritually sick, spiritually ill, you need to make that right. Don't go another day. I think we all understand the cost of letting physical ailments and physical sicknesses go unchecked. What can that lead to? Well, that can lead to more complications, and it just gets worse and worse. Spiritual sickness can be the same way. If we ignore it and it continues to get worse and worse, it's going to be tougher. Things are going to get harder. We're going to continue to get sicker and sicker. We need to make sure that we're strong, healthy Christians. And if you are not, I implore you to make your life right now. You can come to the front. We pray with you and give you strength and encouragement. You can pray right there at your seat. Go home and pray. Whatever it is, pray, pray, pray. Please. Go to God and ask Him for strength. Let the physician work in your life. And if you've not been baptized into Christ, please, again, I implore you to make your life right now so you can have the great physician on your plan, right? You have doctors on your plan. He's there to help you, to be able to heal you and to make your life right and to make it whole and to make it healthy. So whatever your needs are, let us know. Let's stand and sing.